Hello, and welcome to Dear Hank and John.
Or as I like to call it, Dear Caitlin and Hank.
It's a comedy podcast where two brothers, and occasionally a special guest because John's really sick right now, answer your question, give you devious advice, and bring you all the week's news from both Mars and AFC Wimbledon. How are you doing, Caitlin?
I'm doing great. I just Googled AFC Wimbledon news just before this, so
probably.
It's hot off the presses.
Okay, there is some news?
I don't know. It might not be that new.
I don't. It's probably new. They're,
okay.
They're playing. The season is active, so
okay,
things are happening.
Good. Okay. Good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I've gotten a bunch of stuff done today. I'm a little bit sad that my brother is super sick.
Yeah.
He is. I think feeling a little bit better, but yeah,
cool.
He was not up for potting or making a video. Yeah, he was like started working on his video this week, and then he was like, nope.
Ugh.
So he's not good.
Do you get a punishment if you skip a video,
you know,
and you're sick?
I don't know.
Okay. I guess being sick should be a punishment.
Right. I mean, yeah. It's been so long since we've done the punishments. I feel really bad about them. And we procrastinate them now.
Yeah.
And it's like, what?
Then it's just a thing hanging over
you. We tried to bring
you.
It up with Nerdfighter and be like, so can we just like abolish the punishments? And people were like, no. So I'm not sure what we're going to do. I'll probably have people vote.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll be nice, because now you can vote right on the YouTube video.
Right, which is awesome.
Yeah. So for people who don't know, Caitlin Hoffmeister is the producer of SciShow, makes SciShow work and manages all of the SciShow team, and also hosts SciShow sometimes.
Yep.
And has you have your own podcast?
I do have my own podcast. It is. I just recorded a couple more episodes. I kind of backed off of it for a while, but it is still active. It's called You're Doing Just Fine, and I talked to successful people about their failures.
Good.
So, Hank, if you ever want to talk
Boy,
to me.
Boy, I was going through an old hard drive recently, and I found a lot of failures. Just like, wow. There was a whole directory called Side Projects, and there was like 20 things in there. All of them are not existing anymore.
There's a reason they're still in that folder.
The Side Projects folder, and I still have active side projects folders, and I have a task list on my Google tasks.
Yeah,
it's like I never click on it, and it's big ideas. And what I do with big ideas is I let them sit there for a year, and then I come back and I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I didn't do that. That was such a bad idea. That was such a bad big idea.
What makes them big? Like that they're going to be hard to.
Yeah, that they're not something that I can do in a week, you know.
Yeah.
There are things that I would either have to hire somebody for, or they'd be like, you know, like a book length project would be like a big idea.
Yeah.
So
but that one you are doing.
I am doing one of them, but there's another. I've got other big idea books
cool.
on the list.
Yeah.
I still want to write my book about animal sex.
Oh, totally.
It's really high on my list of things that I would like to get done in my life.
Yeah.
Just let's talk about all biology through the lens of the weird ways we make the next generation, which is, you know, what biology is all about. It's about continuing this stuff forever remarkably well.
Yeah.
You know, for the last few billion years. Done real great at that.
Yeah.
Life just kept working.
Yeah.
And hasn't stopped yet. Pretty remarkable.
Well, and I was thinking about this when we were recording a SciShow yesterday, that life will find a way, but it also doesn't give a crap about individuals.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it really doesn't.
It's like if you are weakening the system of this species, you're out. Like,
Well, that's how it works. That's how it functions. But the other thing is that it feels very strange for it all to be related to each other, which it is unquestionably. Like we've looked and seen how similar, you know, and like understood the, you know, the direct relationships between us and various organisms and how the branches of the tree work. And also that kind of the way that we die isn't the same way as like a single-celled organism dies, but the way that it replicates isn't the same way. Like you can say that my child is a different organism than me, but when a single-celled organism replicates, like which one was the original one?
Right.
It's kind of the
– And just does like, it die if
– So like – yeah. So if one goes on to continue living and the other one dies and then it replicates – like which one was it? And in that way – single-celled organisms are all the same single-celled organism.
Yeah. So then are they – they don't die then.
They're just
in a way.
Still there.
Yeah.
Like that one – that first cell is still there. I don't know. Call me on my BS, science people.
Yeah.
For that one, because if not, we're doing a SciShow on that. Hey, Caitlin, do you have a short poem for us?
I do have a short poem. It's by Marianne Hoberman, and it's called Brother, because I'm your fake brother. and I love poems that you can read out loud that sound like children's books, so this one is that. I had a little brother, and I brought him to my mother, and I said, I want another little brother for a change. But she said, don't be a bother, so I took him to my father, and I said, this little bother of a brother's very strange. But he said, one little brother is exactly like another, and every little brother misbehaves a bit, he said. So I took the little bother from my mother and my father, and I put the little bother of a brother back to bed.
Aw.
So, did that ever happen to you? Did John try to trade you in?
Different one. In one way or another.
Nice.
just to make it rhyme with that whole poem. That was great. I also I love children's books, obviously, now because I have no choice. It's remarkable when you hit a good one and you're like, oh man, this is so much fun. I want to read this every night for weeks, which is good because you have to.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're reading the same book every night for weeks and you're not enjoying it. All right. So we have questions from our listeners, Caitlin.
Yeah, I'm excited to give dubious advice.
You have yours in pieces of paper.
I do.
Which
paper is a thing still.
It's loud.
Yeah, it is.
Crinkle it for the people.
Wait, let's see if I can do a...
No, you can't.
It's my paper.
That was great ASMR.
These are all your questions.
Right there. This first question. Oh, what the heck? Is this the wrong... Oh, my God. I think I have the wrong one open. Our first question comes from Nathan, who asks, Dear Green Boys, I'm in a large vinegar-soaked vegetable, by which I assume Nathan means a pickle. I have a group of friends, and life was going great, but now all of them have either began dating each other or other people. Sadly, such is not the case with your homeboy Nathan, much to my aunt's chagrin. My people, in what seems to be a poorly executed plan to keep me around, but also to be with their significant others indefinitely, have decided to invite me, a single teenage chap, on every quadruple date they have gone on for 3 months. I once drove two of them home from a coffee shop after watching the group conduct an unruly amount of PDA at each other, and then on the way home, they kept doing it. Oh man, Nathan, I'm sorry. My life has suddenly turned into a sitcom and not one that I can press pause on and watch later. Would having a girlfriend make my situation less Seinfeld-esque? Please answer soon. I'm scared for my sanity. It's from Nathan.
Oh, Nathan. Homeboy.
Homeboy. My homeboy, Nathan. I have been the person who had a really tight-knit group of friends, and I was like, but also my girlfriend is now part of this, and we're going to be obnoxious about it.
Yeah.
I've been that person. I've been Nathan's friend.
Yeah.
I've also been Nathan.
But I
can also come at that from the other direction. And let me tell you, Nathan, it's pretty obnoxious. at least the way I did it. And my friends were like, oh my God, yeah, I get it. You and Sherry, you're going to be in love forever.
Did it last 3 months or was it?
Me and Sherry lasted for a week or two.
Oh, nice. Well, this is
so
serious.
That was, it was easier. It was easier for my friends than for Nathan. Yeah.
Oh.
It was very exciting for those weeks.
Is Nathan's aunt trying to date him?
No, I think Nathan's aunt would like Nathan.
Is this like a Game of Thrones scenario?
Nathan's aunt wants Nathan to be in a... Every time I was just assuming that there's a broad story here that Nathan is alluding to very quietly, which I like. This you know that there's a whole backstory with the aunt that she really is trying to get him hooked up with somebody. But he's not going to talk too much about that, but just give you a little hint.
Gotcha.
Somebody
wants to date him.
Yeah.
But he's not into it because he's a single teenage chap.
Well, does somebody want to date him?
Somebody that his aunt knows.
Maybe.
Yeah.
She just pinches his cheeks and she's like, where's your girlfriend,
cute.
Nathan?
Yeah.
And he's like, go, I've had enough of this. It's hard enough to be Nathan in this world where all my friends are sucking face in my car.
One piece of actionable advice.
Uh-huh.
when you're giving people a ride, don't let them both ride in the back seat.
Hey,
make one of them ride up front with you.
Well, yeah, because what am I, your chauffeur?
Right,
I'm just your Uber driver.
Yeah,
you're like you back in the back of my Pontiac.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, this is a great point. Who's sitting in the passenger seat?
No one.
Well, somebody, yes.
Yeah,
and
so
that is not allowed.
Because so
then
needs to sit up front.
I'm just your PDA chauffeur. I'm just your, like, person who's driving around the room in which you're hooking up in.
Totally.
That's not okay.
And that's too close. It's like people think it's fine because you're going somewhere, but it's not. You're in a very small room together. And there's that third person who does not want to be there, but they're driving.
Yeah.
You'll all
in
die.
In what
if that
situation
out there.
Is it okay for us to be in like a 12 square foot room with the two of you and Nathan and you're hooking up?
Yeah.
I think this is a general piece of advice that I'm giving to my former self. Like, if it's me and my girlfriend and like one or maybe even multiple other people, like, we are in a friend setting and we're doing friend things. We're not doing boyfriend girlfriend. Like, this can be a boyfriend girlfriend thing, hanging out, having a good time, but it's not like a time for public affection displays.
Yeah.
Like, and I understand you're young, maybe you're
really
excited.
You probably don't have
it's
a place that you could be alone.
Maybe you don't have that. Yeah, it's not inclusive of Nathan to be like, come along, and we're going to stare at each other in the eyes with our eyes open while we kiss.
Yeah.
And Nathan will just be around.
Yeah.
Nathan, you don't have to get a girlfriend to satisfy your friends.
No. Or your aunt.
Or your aunt. But I do think... I do think that you are in a vinegar soaked vegetable there, because you can't really like tell your friends, hey, can we be friends still?
Yeah.
Or is there really just one thing in the world that matters to you right now?
Yeah, you could ask that. Maybe don't phrase it quite like that.
Maybe don't phrase it quite like that, Nathan.
My dog puked in the back seat of my car on one of the back seats. So I don't let anybody sit there anymore. So you could, if you want to just like be subtle about it, you could do that. You're like, I only have room for one of you back there.
Yeah, you can't sit there. There's just a bunch of, or just have like a big bag that you're carrying around.
Yeah, totally.
Just be like,
tire.
No, I had to keep that. I had to put this bag in my car. I'm delivering it for my mom tomorrow to the dry cleaners. It's just pickles.
Perfect. Way to bring it full circle.
Just a bag of pickles I'm bring to the dry cleaners because my mom's a pickle salesperson.
This one's from Morgan, and they say, dear brothers Green and Caitlin, when is the appropriate time to start getting into Christmas season? Most importantly, listening to Christmas music. My mom thinks it's on Thanksgiving, specifically as soon as you see Santa in Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I am a firm believer in November 1st being the start of the Christmas season, mostly because that is about as late as I can possibly hold off. Please end this debate. Greetings from the upside down Demo Morgan.
Demo Morgan. Morgan. So, you're right. I also can't help myself.
I know.
October ended.
Yep. You were listening to spooky music.
I was taking down the Halloween decorations, and I put my son to bed, and I was like, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. And I was like, that's it.
Yep.
It's done.
It's time.
You're getting a Christmas carol every night until January. and maybe into January.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to get your Christmas tree late so that you can hold off until... So you can really stretch it out on that.
Yeah,
end.
You know, Christmas trees in Montana, I'm very impressed with.
They do.
They're
last
like
a long
they're
time.
Just like chilling out, hanging in your house. If you keep it, especially if you keep it a little cool in your house, which is probably the environmental way to do things anyway.
Yeah.
They'll just last.
Yeah.
I like
water
them. I threw my Christmas tree away last year. It dropped like 8 needles. I was like, "What is? Are you alive? Should I plant you?"
Yeah.
Well, I feel bad.
Oh yeah, and then just reuse it next year.
I used to be on the exact opposite side of this debate, where I was like, it is not Christmas time until it is like December 20th.
Oh, whoa.
Like a crazy person.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, no, like, well, that's, and the thing is, like, I live in Montana now where it's snowing.
It's snowing.
And it, like, feels like Christmas, and I need to be, like, celebrating the joy of it being the
right.
Christmas
Otherwise,
season.
It's just a dark, cold time.
Right. It has to be about friendship and giving and thoughtfulness and candy.
Yeah.
Where do you come down?
I love Thanksgiving, but I have no problem, like,
Christmasing
Thanksgiving
up
is
Thanksgiving.
Like in the Christmas season. Yeah. And also, since you're in the Upside Down, Morgan, I feel like that takes place like very early November and there's Christmas lights. So to communicate with the Upside Down.
Right. So
I
you're talking about Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah.
You've
totally.
Moved, okay. So there,
like,
are. Yeah.
I'm just trying to find like text-based evidence for Morgan being right.
Right. And ultimately, the current cultural touchstone for everything is Stranger Things.
Yes.
So in Stranger Things, there's Christmas lights. It's October. It's spooky. But there's still Christmas lights.
Yeah. So you can celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, just put up some creepy Christmas lights, hang them from like and write
like,
in black
know.
Paint on the wall.
Will Byers might need to contact me.
Oh my god, that show
prepped.
Is so good.
It's so good.
It's so good. I haven't watched finished the second season yet. I'm like, I'm on episode 3. Catherine, like, we watched the end of the third episode and she was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. She definitely wasn't gonna watch another one that night.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have a general problem with my wife where she likes to consume high quality content very slowly.
Oh,
and I'm
uh-huh.
like, that's fine. Let's just watch another episode of QI or the Great British Bake Off and not finish Stranger Things. We could do a one episode a day. I'll be fine.
It is really satisfying to do it that way. I did that with the first season of Stranger Things because I was like going to my friend's house and watching it, but it's so hard. I watched the second season in 2 days.
Oh man! So did we get any good actionable advice? Just you can celebrate Christmas. Here's
headphones, maybe.
Oh yes, this is a great point. Yeah, you don't have to involve other people in your Christmas celebrations necessarily.
Yeah.
You can be 100% there in your own brain.
Yeah.
And you can, and also like you can display it. Wear a Christmas sweater. People aren't going to think you're infringing upon their rights, but. Maybe I think – so I was in – like the day after Halloween, I was in a retail store and they were playing Christmas carols. And I do feel like that's a little bit –
right.
That's a little
I don't
bit
think
approaching
you should
the line.
Take up a whole space with it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like – that's – I mean it is retail. They want you to be in the Christmas – they want you to be like, remember, Christmas is coming up.
Yeah.
Don't you need to buy
Christmas
socks for that
coming.
Person?
Yeah.
Buy a lot of socks. It's not
Your
just
feet
you
are
socks.
Cold.
Other people's socks.
Yeah.
Your feet are cold. Other people's socks is a weird, weird way to say what you do when you buy someone's socks.
Yeah.
Because, like, I currently own your socks. These are yours, but I haven't given them to you yet.
That's like gifts in general.
Yeah. I have other people's stuff until like, the Christmas time happens, and then other people have their stuff. Huh. Who owns Christmas presents?
Santa?
And the like in the moment between when you buy them and wrap
like
them
when they're under
and
a
put
tree.
Them under the tree whose are they then are
I
they the person whose name is on them or the person who bought them?
I would argue the person whose name is on them,
but
at that point, but
I
you
feel
could
like that
something.
Happens at midnight on Christmas.
That's why you can't open it until Christmas. That makes sense, because it's like this gray area of property law.
Right. Yeah. That'd be really good. If somebody was just like, it was like 11:59 people, somebody was like, nope, this is mine. I've changed my mind. And like they go to court and like Judge Judy has to determine whether or not this person, like the mixer was Jeff or Jeremy's. I don't know. I think Judge Judy would say that it was the gifters. Until midnight, and then it's the gifties.
Mm-hmm.
This next question comes from Siv, who asks, Dear Hank and Caitlin, I live with my boyfriend now, and it's great. However, he's turning 25 this December, and I kind of want to make him a homemade gift. But the apartment is 42 meters squared. How do you surprise loved ones in small apartments, pandas, and abstracts? Siv, how big is 42 meters squared?
42 meters squared... I don't know.
I have no idea.
I'm imagining my little studio apartment that I had before.
It's 450 square feet.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Google.
It's a little studio apartment.
Yeah. So a small, yeah. Well, homemade doesn't necessarily mean you made it at home.
That's true.
So it could be coffee shop made.
Coffee shop made, library made.
Mm-hmm. You could go to your local, I don't know, we have places like that. Like we have like the Zach where you could go
make
stuff.
Yeah, the art center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you could store it there.
So you just come to Missoula,
yeah.
go to Zootown Community Arts Center. Or whatever it's called.
Yeah, that's
it. Zootown Arts Community Center,
that's
probably
it.
Since it's Zach.
Yeah.
Julie's going to be mad at us.
Yeah. it's not Zach.
And yeah, so stuff like that. Probably you could take a class, like a screen printing class or something, maybe.
Yeah.
And then you'd be learning a skill as well.
You could also make a small thing and hide
right.
it.
Just, like under the covers.
Yeah.
What are you doing in there, Sid? Nothing. Whittle, whittle, whittle. What are all the wood chips doing under there? Why are there so many wood chips in the bed, Siv?
I was thinking that Siv was going to make their boyfriend a present while he was gone and then have to hide it. But
no,
because
you
think
a small thing.
Make
no,
it.
Yeah. Like, he needs, like, a working, like, they need a working space on which
gotcha.
To make the thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And I got,
ooh,
what,
I do
what
like...
you have left off, Siv, is, like, what is the thing you're making?
Yeah.
Because this is hugely important.
Maybe Siv's boyfriend listens to the pod and
yeah, doesn't
that'll ruin
want
the surprise.
It. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I want to avoid that.
Yeah. But I like the idea of making a fort. Like a sheet fort,
like
and then you work in there.
Do not enter.
Yeah, until Christmas.
Craft fort. Do not enter the craft fort.
Yeah. And then you guys can open presents in the craft fort.
Oh, it's cute. Oh, God. Yes, 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 yes. You have to build a craft fort.
And send
We're
us
done.
A picture.
Yeah. Oh, not only you, I challenge everyone who is making something for their Christmas person this Christmas to build a craft fort.
Yes.
Whether or not they're going to find
yeah.
it. I just think it's great to have a craft fort.
Yeah, that's probably how the North Pole was invented.
Yeah, it was originally Mr. Claus, Santa, just wanted to make something for Mrs. Claus,
yeah.
but their house was so small that he built a craft fort.
Yeah.
And then the craft fort just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yep.
You had to get a bunch of elves to pay, I assume, well.
Yeah, I think they're union. Right?
They must be. Santa seems like a nice guy.
I think so.
Yeah, I think he'd be supportive of labor rights.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, do you want to hear
from... never have we answered a question that well on this podcast. that's the best we've ever done. All right. Did I just ask that question?
Yeah.
Okay, your turn.
Let me ask you a question from Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Hank and Caitlin, I work for a catering company and am waitstaff for a large number of corporate events.
Cool.
As is the nature of these events, I've seen a lot of guest speakers and speeches given. I feel very lucky to get to see these speakers as they're often important people working on projects like Mars One and space exploration.
Ooh.
Or are important leaders on the global stage like Nicola Sturgeon, the First Minister of Scotland. I always feel very lucky to get to see these speakers and I always want to applaud after their speeches. However, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to. I mean, I'm just the waitress, not someone the speeches are for. So do I clap for them or not? Please help. I'm very confused and conflicted about clapping or not. Not an abundance of Catherine.
Okay, first of all, the First Minister of Scotland is something that got me hooked up because I was like...
Did I say his name
no,
right?
No, you said it
okay.
correct. It Nicola Sturgeon, a woman.
No, oh, Nicola. Yeah.
And... So I was just like, I don't – hold on a second. This is the first minister Scotland ever had? That person must be dead.
Or is it like a ranking?
It's a thing.
Okay.
It's the first minister is the
like
leader of the Scottish
clarinet.
Government.
Okay.
Like first clarinet. Yeah. Except that it's the leader of the Scottish
yeah.
government
okay,
instead
cool.
of the leader of the clarinets.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So Nicola Sturgeon is – Sturgeon. They spelled it wrong.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't your fault.
Okay. Nicola Sturgeon.
Yeah. Not Sturgeon.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got both of those things fixed.
Okay.
Now, I don't like, so obviously you do what everybody else is doing. What all your other colleagues. Like, this is
yeah.
why. Like I'd be like, what is everybody like? Look over at my colleague Leslie and see what Leslie's doing. That was not a very Scottish name.
Other Kate. Like, what is a Scottish name? Merida.
Yeah. You could go with one Scottish name.
Nicola.
Yeah, apparently. Good point. Excellent point. I've got a long list. Look over to see what Alistair is doing.
Great.
And if Alistair is clapping, then you clap.
Yeah, or sounds like boss. They need a first waiter to lead the clapping.
Excellent point.
Or not.
Yeah, whose name is probably Craig.
Probably.
But I think if I was the person creating the precedent, like if it was me and everyone was going to look to me at what we should do, I would clap.
I would too. I've got a bone to pick with Catherine. Okay. Because she says, I'm just the waitress, not someone the speeches are for.
Yeah.
I think the person giving the speech would love it if you clapped. And it's also definitely talking to you.
Right.
And I think
This is why I think you should clap.
Yeah.
I think you should clap because, like, it's respectful, but also because it's a recognition that you are not a mechanism by which things appear and disappear. You are a person.
Yeah. And you're listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that it's really cool that, like, you have, like, this is a perk of your job.
Totally. Yeah.
And, like you should appreciate it and show people that you are appreciating it and pause in your duties if you're not currently holding a hot cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And
don't burn yourself.
Don't just start clapping, slamming cups of coffee together. that would be bad.
Yeah, I think I agree. And I think you're probably not at the clapping point. You're probably not like pouring water on someone, like for someone. Mm-hmm. Like you're probably just like step to the side.
Near the end of the evening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Because I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
But it does seem cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe other people are wanting to clap too, but they don't know if they should.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Catherine's the Craig.
Right.
That they're looking to and she doesn't even know it.
Right. You can establish the precedent. You pause and you put your one arm behind your back like you're a good – nope, you can't clap that way.
I was curious to see where this is going. Just clap behind your back.
Hit your hand together really hard. yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just pause in your duties and applaud Nicola Sturgeon, the First Minister of Scotland.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm assuming you're Scottish, which I don't know if I should have done. Nicola Sturgeon was there, and I'm sure Nicola Sturgeon goes to other places.
Probably.
I did that whole thing where I assumed you were Scottish for a long time.
And I did too, but
there's no actual indication that that's the case. I apologize. This next question comes from John, who asks, "Dear Caitlin and Hank and Caitlin, sorry, I just want to throw away a few bags of trash in the already full dumpster at my apartment complex." Oh, have we all been here?
Mm-hmm.
As I was halfway back to my apartment, I heard a bag of trash fall to the ground. Did I just litter or am I in the clear? You're not in the clear. They didn't bother to turn around to see if it was one of my bags. But it has begun to plague my mind. Any dubious advice is appreciated. I won't mow your lawn, John.
Oh,
it's John because it's spelled like lawn.
Yeah.
But it sounds like John. You're not. You didn't turn around. You very intentionally
don't turn around. Yeah.
Appear to have not turned around for a specific reason, which is that you
and
didn't want to know.
Plaguing your mind.
And now it's plaguing your mind. I had a plaguing my mind situation yesterday. So I went to the coffee shop to get coffee with Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way there was like a minivan pulled up on the sidewalk with its hazards on. And I was like, that's weird. And on the way back, they were still there. And there was a person sitting in the driver's seat the whole time. And I was like, are they okay? And so we walked home, and then I like was sitting in the house taking care, and I was like, I have to go check and see if that person's okay. And I finally like went and I like walked over, and they were just like on the phone having a conversation. I was like, you just pulled up on the sidewalk? That's super weird. Like on the sidewalk.
Weird.
There's places to park.
Yeah.
There's like, you've just pulled around. There's like neighborhood streets that have parking on them. Yeah. They were there for
hour. Whoa.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking maybe there was car trouble and they were like caught, but like an hour. And I like walked by and I like tried to make eye contact and she would not make eye contact with me. So I was like, you clearly do not want my help. Goodbye.
Good for you for going to check though.
Yeah.
Maybe she called someone and it was taking them a long time to get there.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah. But she was still like, It looked to me like she was just having a conversation.
Weird.
Like she was like she didn't want to drive and talk on the phone at the same time. So she pulled her car up on
which
the
is
sidewalk.
Illegal in Missoula. Yeah. But parking on the sidewalk.
Yeah, parking on the sidewalk
not.
Also not strictly legal. So yes, this was plaguing your mind because you littered.
Yeah,
so,
you
but
did.
But this is a problem that like everyone who has ever lived in an apartment complex knows about.
Yeah.
Like they don't have enough dumpster space.
No, especially right before trash day.
Why not?
I don't know.
Yeah. What am I
is
supposed
to do? Is it
more
expensive to have a bigger dumpster?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. More dumpsters cost more money.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yes. So bigger dumpster costs more. More dumpsters cost more. This is a thing I know because we have a dumpster here at the office.
Yeah. So it's very little. It's so cute.
It's tiny.
I love it.
So don't throw away more stuff because we pay less because it's little.
Yeah, I love that it's little. I'm like, look at us saving the earth. As we're like shoving stuff in
yeah,
there.
Just like, yeah. just holding stuff in the garage.
Yeah.
Waiting for it to get empty. But yeah, this is a common problem. And at our old place, because we shared the dumpster, the tiny dumpster with a lot of different people,
yeah.
that like somebody would fill it up with like bookshelves or something mm-hmm. 1 week and it'd just be like, well, I guess we're just going to put the garbage bags by the dumpster.
Yeah.
And then you feel bad because that's not – because I can tell you as a business owner that like the if you keep doing that, like if the bags aren't in the dumpster, the company will get mad at you and they will call you and be like, you need to get another dumpster because
right.
we're
you're
supposed to drive the truck up
yeah.
and do the thing with the truck and that's it. We're not here to pick stuff up off the ground. Like
yeah.
we're not trash, like not litter patrol.
Yeah.
Anyway, super interesting things that yeah. I know about that I'm so glad that I've learned through. Just like if you ever think to yourself, boy, I want to run a business, remember that you're going to be getting calls from the dumpster company.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, should we get another dumpster? Or should we have a conversation with the employees about throwing less stuff away? That will be your life. At least part of it. And, you know, it's not bad. Yeah. I don't mind having those conversations, telling you guys to be more green and recycling more. We do a good job of recycling.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. So John, you should recycle more.
Yeah. And also, if your trash doesn't fit in, then you should call the trash company and be like, my yeah. landlord won't get another dumpster, and I know that he needs one, so let's work together.
Yes. I love it. yeah. So, John, you littered, but somebody will clean it up. But your conscience,
will
I don't
be,
know.
Will be dirty for the rest of your
yeah.
life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's all over now.
Do you want to hear from Fanny?
Yeah, hit me with Fanny's question.
Fanny says, hi, I'm watching my favorite TV show in Sweden called Vem Vet Mest, and this guy is wearing a Pizza John shirt. I needed you guys to know.
He is. It looks like a game show. There are five yeah. lights and two of them are off, so I don't know if that's good or bad.
Ooh,
I hope
his lives are running down.
Yeah, maybe he's only got three lives left. I really hope that this Pizza John, I mean, what a bold choice.
I love it.
Wearing Pizza John on a game show. Nobody's going to not know that happened.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He looks great.
He does.
So question. Is
now,
there a question?
On to my unrelated question.
I see.
Well, pizza related. Is a pizza a sandwich if you fold it? There's bread on two sides. Hank, I know you've got this figured out. My name is weird in your country. Fanny.
Yes, that is true. Correct. On that last part. So, Caitlin, do you know about my new policy about not having opinions on stuff?
No.
I don't have an opinion on whether that's a pizza, a sandwich or not.
I do.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because is a burrito a sandwich? No.
I mean,
folded pizza?
Are you aware
not a sandwich.
Of the controversy you're wading into right now? That this is like, that like it started with the hot dog question.
Yeah, hot dog's not a sandwich legally.
Wait, there's a law?
Well, it's because it's like there's some sort of like sandwich tax.
There's like, no sandwich tax.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe I made that up.
How is there a sandwich tax?
I think on, it's something.
In America?
In America. Yeah. How do you think we pay for, like, is the corn dog a sandwich? Because there's bread on both sides.
There's bread on all the sides.
Right?
It's completely surrounded by bread.
Yeah.
And it's on a stick. I think in general, sandwiches can't be on a stick. But this is the thing. They're just trying to suck you into a conversation.
Oh.
And having opinions and arguments and disagreements with people about things.
Okay.
And really, maybe we should just not care if a pizza folded in half is a sandwich.
Henry Reich and I were debating if pizza was a pie earlier today.
Well,
because he had a pie party.
Pizza pie.
and people brought pizza. And we thought,
did I miss the pie party?
Yeah, I did too, because Lauren had to go to work. And I had to help him get ready because he was gone for a week.
That sounds so good.
Yeah. He assured me there would be more, though, because I was bummed.
Yeah. Yeah, because they call it pizza pie, but it's not really pie because it's not in a dish.
So I guess it could be whatever you want it to be.
It can be whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
I think that like it definitely becomes a sandwich if you take two slices of pizza and put them on each other, because then it's open at both ends.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's sort of more like a cheesy, saucy taco.
You know what I just realized?
Mm-hmm.
Which that sounds awesome. But this person's from Sweden,
uh-huh.
where they have open face sandwiches.
Yeah.
So a pizza is totally a sandwich.
A pizza is already a sandwich.
Yeah.
It's just a hot, open-faced sandwich with just cheese and sauce.
Yeah. Okay.
Cheese and marinara. Boom.
Next
question.
You know
what I like an open-faced sandwich? I'm into it. Because like, oftentimes I'm like, there's too much bread happening.
Yeah.
There's too much bread going on. And again, this is not an opinion that I have for all people. I'm not saying that everybody should only eat open-faced sandwiches. This is just a thing that I believe for myself. I often think to myself, that's just... My mouth is full of bread right now, and I didn't sign up for bread. I'm here for all that stuff in the middle.
Gotcha.
All that Oreo goo.
Oreo sandwich. An Oreo would be a sandwich. Yeah.
Do they call them sandwich cookies?
I think so.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. All right. This question comes from Brian, who asks, "Dear Hank and Caitlin, when scientists talk about the age of the universe, i.e. about 14 billion years old, are they using the year as defined by one rotation of the Earth around the Sun? To me, this seems rather confusing, as the Earth has only been around for less than half of the calculated age of the universe, and a year is usually different on other planets. What's up? Brian is greater than Ryan. Brian." I mean, says you, Brian. Wait.
It has more letters.
It does have that extra letter. Yeah, we don't have any other ways to do it. Right?
Yeah, it's funny,
like,
because...
What would you say? The universe has been around for like 18,000 rotations of the Milky Way? No. Like,
yeah.
We don't know what that means.
Right.
I have no idea if that's even close to the... Probably way not enough.
Yeah.
And also, the Milky Way wasn't around when the universe started. So, like, there's nothing to go by except what we know.
Yeah. And it's something, like, talking about a small apartment earlier, we were like, meters, we think in feet usually. Let's look this up by feet.
Yeah.
Like, it makes sense to talk about years, as egocentric as that is, to like help
right.
us fathom it.
Well, that's one of the things, is like most of our definitions of things are arbitrary to start with.
Totally.
So like
yeah.
a foot is just something we picked. A meter is something we picked. A kilogram is something we picked. But a year is at least a thing. Like, it's, we were here and then
now we're here.
Now
again.
We're here again.
Yeah.
And, you know, in terms of around the sun.
Yeah.
And, like, we can measure that and we know that. And that amount of time is not exactly a number of days, which is what causes all the problem with leap years and extra leap years and
leap seconds.
Yeah,
and...
leap seconds. So it's not perfect, but it's the thing that we have. And it is sort of like, compared with our other units of measurement, at least it's based on something in
mm-hmm.
reality.
Yeah. And something that relates to, like, individual people, because you know how old you are in
right.
years. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have some experience with what a year is.
Yeah.
I don't have any experience with what a year is that allows me to conceive of what 14 billion of them would be, though.
No. me neither. But what would be cool, Brian?
Can you just have that no? like be a full like,
lots of,
I don't
silence.
Know, like 15 seconds and then...
like it's going to be 14 billion seconds.
yeah. And then you can just jump in
okay.
with what you were going to say.
But what would be cool, Brian, is if you made a poster or something visual that I could hang on my wall that showed me how old the universe is
in
Earth years, in Pluto years.
Mm-hmm.
Because Pluto, as long as we've known about Pluto, it still has not completed a Pluto year.
Wow.
Which I think is so cute.
It's like, I'm still just out here trying to finish a year.
Yeah.
I'll make it. Nothing's going to stop me now. You can't stop me. I'm Pluto. You can't stop me because you can't get here.
Yep.
Too far away. You can also do like... lunar orbits around the
yeah.
Earth. You could also do like galaxy orbits or...
Which is not something I ever even thought about before. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if the galaxy orbit something inside of its supercluster. There's got to be some kind of common central point of gravity in the supercluster, but it definitely revolves or rotates.
Right,
so
of course.
It, like, the Earth goes around the center of the galaxy once every lots and lots and lots of years.
Yeah, what is that called?
I don't know what that's called.
A hectacre?
Hectacre? That is a callback to a Vlogbrothers video from a long time ago.
That's my fake. That's my go-to fake measurement.
That's good. Hectacres are excellent. All right. We don't have a ton of time left. So this podcast is brought to you by Hectacres.
Yes.
The Hectacre.
They're big.
They're so big.
Or long. Or.
Or, yeah. Or, yeah.
Unfathomable.
Unfathomable.
This podcast is brought to you by moving rooms for three people that you should not make out in.
Correct. Oh, moving rooms that you should not make out in.
They're not bedrooms,
don't make out in them, because there's a bunch of pickles on the back seat anyway.
Yeah.
This podcast also brought to you by the Craft Fort. The Craft Fort. It takes up 2 meters squared of your 40-meter square apartment, and you are in there doing something.
And it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be so good.
This podcast is brought to you by the holiday music that can start whenever it wants.
It could start. You could be Mariah Carey-ing in your ears all year long if you want to. All I want for Christmas is for it to be Christmas all the time. Let's do another question. This one comes from Madden, who asks, "Dear Hank and Caitlin, what is NIL? John always talks about it when talking about AFC Wimbledon, and I don't understand. I'm a lizard, Madden. What are you? You're a lizard? I guess that explains why you don't understand what NIL is.
Yeah. I am a lizard. Is that
a thing? Like, I am the walrus?
Probably.
Sure.
Or is, like, Madden a game?
Well, Madden is a game.
Okay.
But it's not spelled like Madden's name, and it's about football.
Oh, what? Oh, so you don't know about Madden, the game Madden. Sorry. I'm like, you should know about NIL if you know about football.
No.
Okay. No. I know nothing about football or video games.
Yeah. Clearly. So I wanted to know where NIL comes from.
Yeah, did you look it up?
I did. So it just means nothing.
It means I can tell you what the AFC Wimbledon scores
was
are.
There
and
nils?
This is why you hear it so often. Charlton versus AFC Wimbledon was 1-0, but AFC Wimbledon beat Lincoln City 1-0.
Oh, so they won and lost.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you already got to the AFC Wimbledon news, so you've
ruined it. No,
that's
from a couple weeks ago.
Okay. so the...
That's old.
Yeah, situation is that it just means nothing. But I looked it up, and nil, it's like from the Latin, which is also where like nihilism comes from.
So literally like nothing.
Yeah, I'm into nothing.
Like annihilate. Mm.
Yeah, also, to make into nothing.
Yeah.
Yep, nil. It means nothing. So that was just a quick one for people who are confused by nil. And I don't know why. I tried to figure out why football scores in particular talk about nil, like nil-nil draw. But, like, nobody knows. It's just something people started doing.
Maybe because it's one syllable. Maybe it's, like, especially if you're talking about you being the loser, maybe it's, like, 1-0. Like, it seems a little more hopeful than 1-0.
1-0.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm probably just to save a syllable off.
Yeah.
It's a British thing. They don't like syllables. They'll get rid of them at every opportunity.
Even if they're in the word. So this one's from Caroline, and she says, "Dear Hank and Caitlin, how long does a person or persons have to be dead for it to be considered archaeology instead of grave robbing? Does the civilization have to be fairly old, or is there like an Indiana Jones code of conduct? Sweetly, Caroline."
Ah, oh, that's good.
Oh, super good. Did you look this one up too?
Oh, well, it's actually something I knew.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
So it does not matter how old the grave is.
Okay.
It matters your intent.
Okay.
Going into the grave. And this is sort of a controversial thing.
That's interesting. So so even if it's like a pharaoh's grave.
Right. If you're going in there to like melt down the gold and sell it, or like even sell the stuff on the black market.
You're grave robbing.
You're a grave robber.
Yeah.
But like, where do you draw that line? Because like, early on, this is kind of weirdly what we would do. We'd go to other countries. We'd like explore these tombs. We'd take stuff out of the tombs and then we'd bring them back and put them in museums in right. Europe. And so there is like sort of now we're like, oh, like we wouldn't do it that way now.
Yeah.
And that was kind of grave robbing. It was kind of like a cultural extraction that we did because we were like, well, we're Europe. So we're the ones who are interesting. And, you know, we only – no one could appreciate this stuff like we can because, you know, we really understand things.
Yeah.
And we're so it turns out that like there is a fuzzy and dangerous – we've got a visitor by the doorway. Callie Moore is just making faces at us.
Archaeology. Callie Moore appears. That's pretty pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. there's a fuzzy and a dangerous distinction between those two things. And so really it comes down to the like your intent is to bring your findings to more people and to be public about it and to be approved by universities and museums and the government of the place where you are, then it's archaeology and not grave robbing. And if you do not have those sanctions, no matter how old the grave is, you are just a thief. You are a weird thief stealing from people who have been dead for a long time, but more than that, you are stealing from the culture that's there now. And also just sort of like from human knowledge, which is the worst thing to steal from.
Totally. So how could you make a case for it being archaeology with a very recently buried person? if it doesn't matter the age.
Well, I don't know that you could – yes. So you couldn't call it archaeology, but you could call it science if you wanted to dig somebody up and say like somebody who died 100 years ago and be like, well, we're curious how many people died of arsenic poisoning in this community. And you might want to do some science and be like, you know, there was this like wave of deaths and we're not sure why. And maybe it had something to do with this thing that we're trying to figure out. Then you would be doing science and it wouldn't be grave robbing.
Okay.
But you wouldn't be taking stuff out of the ground. And that's an interesting question. If you can like in 1,000 years, people might exhume like graveyards in the U.S. to be like, what did people wear? What were – well, they wouldn't know. But like what were their wristwatches like?
Yeah.
What was their jewelry like? Because you couldn't find anything besides – like clothes wouldn't be there. Bodies wouldn't be there. Not like – they're not like mummies. We don't mummify in the ground here. But yeah, recent archaeology – there is, I think, some line somewhere where archaeology starts, and I don't know what it is. Ask Blake. Blake is our colleague who is into archaeology.
And also super, of course, into Indiana Jones, I feel like.
Oh, I mean, he looks like Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
like literally, since I've been working with Blake for like almost 7 years now, he's every day he looks more like Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Like I expect him to come in with one of those hats. And
he does
then,
have
like,
a whip in his
office. He does have a whip in his office. So I don't know. He's more and more tan. He only gets more buff. I'm like, what are you doing? When do you have two kids and like and a very hard job. Yeah. Where do you have time to exercise? I don't understand at all. All right. Oh, we are so over time. We have to get to the news from Mars and AFC Wimbledon.
Okay.
Hit me with some AFC Wimbledon news.
Oh, God. Okay. AFC Wimbledon is playing for the Checkatrade Trophy.
Okay.
Right now.
Oh, wow. I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
Is it? It's probably, my guess is, from what I know, which is limited, that there are these like side tournaments that teams play that don't matter to the official standings, like
just
the FA
glory.
Cup. But yeah, just glory.
Oh, that's awesome.
So they're playing in the Checkatrade?
Yes.
Is that like a brand or is that a place?
I'm assuming it's a brand where you trade checks.
Checkatrade. Checkatrade is where reputation matters. Oh, it's how you
glory.
Get your tradesmen. So
what?
you like it's like Angie's List.
That's awesome.
Where you find people to help you fix your air conditioner or whatever.
Where reputation. So you get a check, meaning you
check the
are
tradesmen.
Recommended.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
<good. laughs>
So in future news, I'm going to come up with a cool name for a competition.
Okay.
And then AFC Wimbledon will get a trophy for it, for glory.
Right. And they don't even have to really win.
No, it'll be like the AFC Wimbledon, Caitlin's trophy for AFC Wimbledon News trophy.
Okay, so that's our, how that's, are they, have they played a game? Are they doing okay?
I got distracted by Check a Trade.
Yeah, that was really distracting.
I don't know if they have won a game. The stats I have come up from October. Oh, they're playing a game on Saturday. They're playing a game on Saturday versus the Bristol Rovers.
Oh, Bristol Rovers. What a great name for a sports team.
Yeah. Unfortunately, way better than AFC Wimbledon.
And I think that their most recent game was against Peterborough, which they tied 2-2, which is good that they scored two goals.
Yeah, and Peterborough played Bristol Rovers this weekend and beat them 4-1. Oh, so, wow. I feel
all
like
all right, well, maybe we'll do
AFC's
good.
AFC's Wimbledon's chances are good.
And the goal, the goals in on AFC Wimbledon for that Peterborough game were scored by Lyle Taylor, the Messi from Montserrat.
Woohoo!
And Cody McDonald, who I've never heard from before. And that
I
Lyle
think
Taylor
I went to
goal
high
was scored.
With Cody McDonald.
Lyle scored in the first minute. So
nice.
That's good. And then we went down 2-1, and then Cody came back and saved it in the 45th minute to make it a tie. So that's what I know. In Mars news,
yes.
NASA is preparing to land its 2020 rover on Mars, and so they're testing out the parachute system. So if you want to watch a parachute open at supersonic speeds but slow down a lot so that you can actually watch it happen with a high-speed camera, there was a test called the Advanced Supersonic Parachute Inflation Research Experiment, which is an acronym,
yes.
And it's ASPIRE.
Nobody does
Nobody does acronyms
better.
Like NASA. This 54-foot tall. So they launched this thing up. Wait. So they launched a test payload up into the atmosphere, and then it fell to Earth, and then they opened the parachute, and it didn't break, which is great because it has happened before where they'll do a test parachute launch, and it'll just be like, shroom, just shreds.
Yeah.
Because if it fails catastrophically and immediately, because that moment when it opens is the
is
moment
the
when
critical
it,
moment.
Yeah,
yeah,
is by far the most stress. So the parachute worked. And NASA is going full speed ahead with the Mars 2020 mission, which is very exciting. I can't wait for there to be two amazing science labs on the surface of Mars. Caitlin, what did we learn today?
We learned that even if your aunt wants you to have a girlfriend, you can make your own choices. Yeah.
And we learned that that Nathan's mom is also maybe a pickle salesperson.
Oh, yeah.
Selling pickles to the dry cleaners.
Yeah.
I don't really know what that was about.
Vinegar gets stains out.
Yeah, vinegar gets stains out.
We also learned that when your trash falls on the ground, it is litter, no matter how close it is to the trash can.
And we learned that if you are working at an event where someone is speaking, the speech is for you as much as it is for anybody. Catherine, enjoy. I hope you're actually Scottish, and I didn't just make that up.
Yeah. We also learned a little bit about the Scottish government today.
A little bit. Just a very, very small amount. And also that there are people in Sweden named Fanny.
Yeah.
That's a thing. That was this episode of Dear Hank and John with guest host Caitlin Hoffmeister. Thank you very much
for
hanging
out.
This was really fun.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you could do it on short notice, but also that you could do it at all because it's great to have you. I'm sure John is feeling better by now.
I hope so.
Since it does take a little bit of time for these episodes to come out. But John, feel better.
Yeah.
And this podcast is edited by Nicholas Jenkins. It's produced by Rosianna Hals-Rojas and Sheridan Gibson. Our head of community and communications is Victoria Bongiorno. The music that you're hearing is by the great Gunnarola. And as they say in our hometown,
don't forget
to
be
awesome. Oh, hey, you're still listening. What a champion you are.
You must be like a big fan of podcasts, or at least this podcast. Maybe you even want to watch this podcast happen live, along with a bunch of other podcasts like Lore, My Brother and Me, and Harry Potter and the Sacred Text. So many others besides those. I just don't want to take your time telling you all about them. Maybe you want to see some weird one-off podcast that no one will ever be able to see again any other way, or have discussions about the podcasting industry and learn about how people make it work and work to inspire themselves and other people. Oh, yeah. That sounds like fun. Also, this is like maybe your last chance to get tickets for PodCon, which is happening December 9th and 10th in Seattle. It's a conference for people who love podcasting and podcasts. You can find out more about it at podcon.com. Thank you for supporting Dear Hank and John, and I hope to see you there.